Surprise! You like surprises? It depends, right? Are we talking a good surprise or a bad surprise? Now, in case you didn't notice, you all need to know, in 2 days is my birthday. And yes, it is April Fool's Day. Let the jokes begin. I blame my parents. They're the ones who had me on April Fool's Day. But because of that, I've had a lot of fun with my birthday. I've had a lot of surprise birthday parties. I've had a lot of surprise gifts. I've had a lot of surprise cakes. I've had blocks of wood that were decorated with nice icing that I've tried to cut. I've had nice sponges as I've tested to see if this is another block of wood. No, it's a sponge. I've had a lot of fun with surprises. I think there is a huge surprise in our story this morning. We're going to be looking at the book of Judges chapter 10. But before we look at the surprise, we have to kind of back up a little bit. Let's look at the problem. In Judges chapter 10 and verse 6, it says, Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They served the Baals and the Asherahs and the gods of Aram and the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, the gods of the Philistines. You kind of get the idea? They're serving all these other kind of gods and they're doing it again. If you know much about Judges, it's really a cycle that keeps going over and over and over again. The Israelites enjoy rest. They enjoy good times. But then they experience this time of rebellion against God. They forsake God. And so God then punishes the Israelites. And then in time, the Israelites are sorry for what they've done, and they cry out in repentance. God hears their cries, and then he restores them and again grants them rest. And then shortly, then they rebel again, and God punishes them, and the cycle goes over and over and over and over again in the book of Judges. And so by the time we get to Judges chapter 10, that's why he says, now, again, this is happening. Now, the Baals and the Asherahs, those are gods of the Canaanites. Those are gods in Palestine, in Canaan, that the Israelites were supposed to drive out in the first place. Now, all these other gods that you see there, Aram, Sidon, Moab, those are nations outside of Canaan, but who often come into Canaan and oppress Israel. And so we're into this cycle, and because the Israelites forsook the Lord and no longer served him, he became angry with them. He sold them into the hands of the Philistines and the Ammonites. You see, every time Israel worships the idols of a nation, that nation ends up oppressing them. Don't miss that. That's important. In other words, Israel serving God, and they kind of, I don't know, get distracted, and they come over here, and they serve the gods of this other nation. And every time when they pursue a different god, the nation of those gods end up oppressing Israel every single time. And what we see here is that idolatry leads to slavery. Every time we pursue something that's not of God, whatever it is that we pursue ends up enslaving. Now, in this particular section of Scripture, they're being oppressed by Ammon. Now, if you go back to Judges chapter 3, that's already happened. They've worshipped the gods of Ammon, and then Ammon conquered them and suppressed them. And now they're doing it again. What we see here is basically human nature. Now, it's easy for us to look at these stories and the worshiping idols and kind of get lost in a different culture today and say, oh, come on, what are we thinking right here, folks, about these people bowing down and worshiping a statue? These are just silly people, aren't they? That is just so ridiculous. But what we see in human nature here is that when idols lead to slavery, what we really need is more idols. When we try to replace God with something and it doesn't go well, our human tendency is not then let's turn back to God. Our human tendency is to try harder with what we want, with what we've replaced God with. Maybe if we just did something different, maybe if we tried harder, maybe if we what? But we do not have a tendency to see our problem as looking at something else besides God. Because when that's not working, we simply try harder. Now, because of all this, it says he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and the Ammonites. That's an interesting word, isn't it? He sold them. That's pretty common in the book of Judges. It's found several times where God sold them. What does that mean? What happens if you have a car and you sell the car? What does that mean? It means that the new owner of the car now can do whatever he wants because it's his car. In no way, shape, or form at any time does God ever abandon his promises. But God allows the things that dominate our lives to own us. Whatever it is that you really want to pursue in life, that is what will own you. This isn't just Judges. Over in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1:25, and exchange the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Now he's talking here in the time of the Roman Empire, and it's the same thing. These people are prone to make images and idols and worship them. And again, we look at that and say, well, you know, actually we just don't exactly relate to that. Because we don't have many idols, do we? But boy, watch what he does in this next verse that really hits home today in 21st century America. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. And so it's easy for us to see idol worship and replacing that. We don't relate to it, but we can see it. But then he starts talking about things that really relate to our nation today. When he talks about sexual immorality, when he talks about our nation's pursuit of pornography and rampant adultery, and those are the things we still wrestle with in our world today. Basically what he's saying, God gave them over. In fact, three times it says God gave them over in Romans chapter 1. And God allows the things in which we hope instead of God to become the ruling powers of our lives. Do you understand what God is saying in Judges and Romans? If this, in fact, is the priority of your life, if this, whatever it is what is so important to you, then God's going to let you have it. And if you've made that number one in your life, well, let's just kind of see how that goes. The judgment of idolatry is idolatry. If money is the most important thing to you in your life, if possessions and things are the most important things, then God says, okay, you can have it. And it will control your emotions and your will. It will rule you. It will become the pursuit of your life. If popularity in some way is what is so important to you and what other people think, then that's what will begin to control you. God says, if that's what you want, then here it is. Let's see how merciful these things are to you. Let's see how effective these things are in saving you and guiding you and enlightening you and fulfilling you. And so I find it intriguing in Judges, but God is saying the same thing has happened today. What exactly, really, I mean really, is important to you in your life? Don't just say God because we're sitting in a church building. I mean, really look at your life and what exactly, what dominates your thinking, your mind, your actions, your time from day to day? What is it that truly is number one in your life? God says that's what you can have. God wants to be number one, but he will give you over to whatever your heart's desire is. Now here comes the surprise. He sold them into the hands of the Philistines and the Ammonites, who that year scattered and crushed them. For 18 years they oppressed the Israelites. That's a pretty strong language, isn't it? I mean, shattered, crushed. I mean, even 18 years of oppression. 18 years ago was 1996. Doesn't that sound like a long time ago? Man, some of y'all weren't even born in 1996. There's a lot that's happened since 1996. That's a long time to be suffering and oppressed. And so again, as this cycle goes, then the Israelites cried out to the Lord, "We have sinned against you, forsaking our God and serving the Baals." God, we have sinned. We're sorry. So the big question here now is, what will God do? Just guess in your mind. What do you think God's going to do? For 18 years, we've been punished and oppressed. God, this is enough. I am so sorry. God, please help us. What do you think God's going to do? God's going to say, no. No. I'm not helping you anymore. I'm done. And thus concludes our lesson for this morning. Do you believe me? I understand why you don't, because of some of the preaching tactics I've used in the past. But I'm telling you the truth this time. He's going to say no. The Lord replied, when the Egyptians, the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Sidonites, the Amalekites, the Maonites, the Termites, the Gigabites, and all those oppressed you, and you cried to me for help, did I not save you from their hands? God said, we've done all this before many, 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 many times. And every time I've saved you. And then every time, then you forsake me and you served other gods. So I will no longer save you. I told you. He said, no. I'm not going to do it. There's your lesson for this morning. God's tired of helping you. He's had enough. No more. How many chances have you had? And you just keep going right back to those other things. So, no. Go and cry out to the gods you have chosen. Let them save you when you are in trouble. When you are in trouble. You've chosen all these other gods. Help yourself. You've pursued riches all of your life. Now you're crying out to me because you're some type of trouble. Let's just kind of see what your riches can do for you. You've cared so much about what other people think. Let's see what they're going to do for you. God is basically saying this is just a cry for help. All you're saying is, God, we're in trouble. We broke the rules. Now please help us to get out of trouble. In other words, what I think God is saying here is that they're sorry for their consequences of their sin, but they're not really sorry for their sin. I'm sorry that I'm being punished. I'm sorry that things aren't going well for me in my life. I'm not really sorry for what I've done and what I've pursued because I want it all. But I'm not really sorry for my sin. In some ways, they're trying to turn from idolatry in an idolatrous way. In some ways, they're treating God as if he's just one of the other idols. You know, if we can just say the right prayer, if we can push the right button, if we can figure out how to get God to do what we want, without really changing our lives, that's what we're looking for. He tells Israel no. But the Israelites said to the Lord, "We have sinned. Do to us whatever you think best, but please rescue us now." Do you see it? There's a world of difference in what they just said. There is a huge heart change in that particular statement. You see, before they're saying, "We're broken, God, fix us." Now they're saying, they're admitting to God is under no obligation to fix them or to take away their trouble. We deserve what we are getting. We're not worthy. And we're still hoping that God will help us. But really what they're saying is, God, we want you, even if it means we're going to keep suffering. We'd rather not. But now you have become more important. God, we give to you whatever you think is best. And I think our challenge is often as we come to God, "God, I want you because I want or I need you to give me X," whatever X is. And oftentimes our relationship with God is based upon what we want Him to give us. What we want God to fix in our lives. What we want God to take away or to fill us with. And so, God, I need you and want you because I need you to take care of this in my life. And do you see what we've done? We've made ourselves God, and God is simply our servant. And when we say, I want you because of X, then really X becomes our real God. This is what is so important to us. And it may be extremely important. It may be a health issue. It may be a financial issue. It may be a relational issue. But we've still made it more important than God. And I think the Israelites got to the point where they're saying, "I want you, God, regardless of whether you give me X, Y, or Z. We want you." And I don't think God became any longer a means to simply get what was important to them. They put their hands, their life in the hands of God. And what happens now when you see that repentant heart? God's going to save them. Then they got rid of the foreign gods among them and served the Lord, and he could bear Israel's misery no longer. Look at how much is in that verse. They're going to go beneath the surface. It's not just superficial behavior here. They're going to get rid of their foreign gods. They're going to get rid of those things that had become so important to them in their life, and they're going to serve God. And when you put things away and you serve God and make him number one, look at how it's worded. God can't help it. Even after God said, no, I can't bear this any longer. When he sees that heart, God responds to his repentant, oppressed people with mercy. It's shocking when we read this, and because we so expect this God of love and compassion and mercy to say, okay, but this time he says, no. No. Until he sees those hearts that truly puts God first. Now, really, this is an introduction lesson. Tonight, we're going to look at then how this story kind of plays out. We're going to look at Jephthah. And, boy, it's one of the most intriguing stories of the Bible, because Jephthah says, God, if you give me victory against our oppressors, I'll sacrifice the first thing that walks out my door when I get home. And what walks out the door when he gets home? His daughter. We'll take a look at that story tonight. And parents, there will be children's Bible hour tonight. Kenny just told me that this morning. So we hope you'll come back tonight as we kind of finish this story from Judges chapter 10. But what we see here this morning is the question, do you want God or what God gives you? Are you simply pursuing God, or are you using God to simply get what you want? The doctors diagnosed me with pneumonia, and it was such a blessing. I actually listened to the doctor this time. Rest, nothing else. You know what a blessing that was? I sat a lot, I read a lot, and I talked to God a lot. I didn't have a lot of agenda here. I didn't have a lot of responsibilities. I just had time with God. I got pretty restless, and I'm not sure all this about this rest stuff. But you know, sometimes God just has to sit us down and just say, do you remember who's in charge? Do you remember how important I am? Let's just sit down and talk a while. All I'm saying is, take some time before God gives you some pneumonia to do it. All right? Pursue God. Not just what you want from God, but pursue God. If we can help you in any way in that